This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. In the break, Boomer was breaking down contract numbers, and he's going to give them to you.
Yeah, well, in a second, I wanted to reopen a discussion we had yesterday morning early.
Yeah.
You were telling me who you had on your FanDuel team for the golf tournament being played down in Palm Beach. Is it Palm Beach National? I think it's Palm Beach National they're playing?
PGA National. National and
right,
Palm Beach.
In Palm Beach, okay. So we were watching one of the guys that you had picked, and it was Daniel Berger.
Yeah.
And he got up there on the first tee, and he hit his ball, and it landed in a palm tree.
And got stuck up there, never came out.
And it never came out. So he had to go back, and he had to re-hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, man, what a way to start a tournament. And so I was watching a little bit yesterday, and I just checked on the score last night, and I see that Daniel Berger's in second place.
Yeah, 8 under.
And the guy in front of him is a Jake Knapp.
Jake Knapp, yeah.
Jake Knapp shot a 59, and he had 6 birdies on the front, 6 birdies on the back. I guess the condition, well, they were, I know the conditions were absolutely perfect.
In the morning, and then it played harder in the afternoon. Right. But Jake Knapp also lipped out for birdie on 17, and had a tap-in birdie on the par 5 on 18. He was putting for eagle, so it could he could have set the record.
You know, sometimes there's a par 71, a par 72. Could even be a par 70.
This is a par 71. Yeah.
This is a 71. To me, 59 is a 59. I don't care what you say. I mean, it's the amount of strokes it takes you to get the ball in the hole, and a 59 is impressive, especially for a young man like that, regardless of the conditions, the golf course. Now, do it on Shinnecock or Bethpage Black, you know, one of the harder golf courses,
yeah,
I could understand, but you know, this guy just had it all going on yesterday, and he shot a 59. It was an amazing round of golf. 6 birdies on the front, 6 birdies on the back, and I think he started with either five straight birdies.
He
I
did
think.
Five straight. You know, it's funny. So a couple, I was on this guy because he's got one of the great swings in the game right now. So I bet him top 10 plus 900 at the Waste Management.
Yeah,
and then my friends are like, what, Jake Knapp? What are you betting Jake Knapp plus 900 for? So he ended up being okay. He was like top 20. He didn't make it top 10. And then he does this yesterday, and all my buddies text me, hey, did you bet Jake Knapp again? And I said, no, of course not. Of course I didn't do it this time. Guy shoots a goddamn 59. I'm nowhere to be found.
Anyway, I mean, so it was a great response from Daniel Berger, though.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was unbelievable. Starting with your first shot into the palm tree, then you have to go back and re-tee.
He ended up par in the hole by chipping in from the rough behind the green, too.
Right, and Jake Knapp actually did have a 60-yard chip-in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just absolutely amazing yesterday. It was definitely fun to watch. All right. you were going over some contracts.
I was looking at Matthew Stafford's contract. So he's got the 3-year out contract situation, which is what he's sitting in the middle of right now. And he did get a guaranteed, got a 4-year, I guess, $160 million contract extension from the Rams the first time after he had won the Super Bowl. And in 2025, he can opt out, and that's where he is right now. So I'm assuming he's opting out.
He's going to have to.
Right, so if he opts out, doesn't he become a free agent, or is it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I thought he became a free agent, but I guess not. I guess
it's a player opt out.
And obviously since they're talking about having to trade him, meaning that they have him right now. I don't know if it's a team opt out or a player opt out. Potential out. It says a potential out in the middle of his contract on SpotTrack. So I'm assuming that.
Well, the way that this is working, he's not a free agent. I mean,
they have to trade him because right. they have to give him a $4 million roster bonus, a part of this contract.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't know what that potential, I guess the potential out is, you know, for him to go back and say, hey, you know, I want a raise. And the fact that he took the team to the playoffs this year, and as we highlighted earlier in the week about the $50 million quarterbacks, you know, he feels like he's worth at least that. And hence why the Raiders and the Giants would go to up to about $100 million guaranteed over 2 years. It would give him the money that he would want. And, I think if you're him, and I look at everything, I would say Vegas would be the place.
Yeah, and what we're reacting to this morning, there is some news from Diana Russini, who said that Matthew Stafford and the Rams are meeting later today to discuss options and the future of those two together. And the Raiders and the Giants have both offered a contract extension to Matthew Stafford if he ends up on one of those two teams of 2 years, somewhere between $90 and $100 million guaranteed. So it would have to be a trade, and it should resolve itself quickly. Boomer and I do not think that the Giants are going to end up with Matthew Stafford. I hope that they do. I think that this is not Aaron Rodgers. It's a different thing. I think he's younger and healthier.
I also think he'd be more team-friendly offensive-wise. And plus, remember, you know, his brother-in-law is here with the Giants.
That is true.
So that's one of the good things going on for him. And I think he's a player. I've always thought he was a player that is a go-along, get-along guy as opposed to my way or the highway guy.
True.
And I think Aaron Rodgers is a my way or the highway guy when they're on offense, the way he wants the offense to run.
Yeah.
I think Matthew would be a hell of a lot more flexible.
So I'm hoping that it happens. I think it makes them relevant and competitive right away. They got a lot of cap space. They also have a number 3 overall draft pick that they're going to bring in a good player who's not a quarterback. This team could make the playoffs next year if Matthew Stafford is the quarterback and that number 3 overall pick is a big contributor. Malik Nabers is a stud. This defense, I think, hopefully can get back together, especially with a much better offense. I mean, I don't think that they're going to be able to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. But this team goes from one of the worst, one of the embarrassing, and everybody making fun of them on the Tonight Show and everything else, to a team that I think could make the playoffs the next year and solidify that position for a couple of years.
So you're saying this could be one of these last to first teams?
Yes, I could. No, not to first. No. They'd have to be a wild card. They're the Eagles, unless they have some sort of crazy thing happen to them, are going to win the division.
Injuries, everything happens.
Yeah,
what happened to the 49ers this year? Look what happened to the Bengals this year.
Yeah, true. Yes. I'm not going to say first, though. That would be silly for me to say that. I mean,
every year, there's a team that goes from last to first in their division.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. I'll say that this team has an opportunity to grab a wild card in the NFC and go to the playoffs. Let's go to Michael in Stony Brook. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, man. What's up?
Yeah, you kind of made my point right before the break that what does this tell you about what the Giants think of the quarterbacks coming out? Now they're in such a bad spot with the Penn State, Abdul Carter, would potentially happen to Bad Wheel. You know, where do they go in the draft? And in terms of trade compensation for Stafford, how is it not at least equal to what the Jets gave up for Rodgers, which was 2 number 2 picks?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be maybe a little bit more than that. But remember, there was a difference here because the Giants are giving Matthew Stafford a contract extension.
And so, they're giving him more money. The Aaron Rodgers situation, he took less money.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. So as far as compensation goes, Michael, I think that because of the contract extension, it wouldn't be more now that I think about it that way.
And so, I will say this, you know, if Cooper Kupp is out there and you were the Giants, and I'm not saying that you want to try to recreate what the Jets did with Aaron Rodgers, that would be ridiculous, but a Cooper Kupp signing for the Giants would be, I think, a boon, assuming he's healthy and it's a reasonable contract, and reuniting him with Matthew Stafford gives him a little bit of a comfort zone.
Yeah.
But also knowing that, you know, Malik Nabers is going to be your number one guy.
Sure. I mean, in all, this would be more like the Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams thing, as opposed to the Aaron Rodgers, Alan Lazard, or Randall Cobb thing. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's got something left in the tank and someone that has a ton of positive history
hurt.
With.
Gets hurt. That's all. That's the problem. Well, you get older, you get hurt. But I still think, again, highly motivated for sure. And I would imagine that the Raiders would be looking at the same kind of, you know, connection, you know, bringing Cooper Kupp with him somehow.
Let's go to Lawrence in Oklahoma City. What's going on, Lawrence?
Listen, I understand the premise of bringing behind Matthew Stafford to make the Giants a better team immediately. But to spend $80, $90 million on a quarterback, when unless he's going to pop up and get us some interceptions and some fumbles too, you can't spend that much money on a guy who's only going to win you 7 games. But look at our schedule next year. What are we seriously going to do with Matthew? What are we going to win? If it's about stabilizing, go bring in Russell Wilson and spend half the money. It's ridiculous. $80, $90 million on Stafford. What are we thinking? We have so many holes. So many holes.
You know, but Lawrence, I wouldn't get all worked up. I think it's a moot point. I think if Matthew Stafford has his choice of going to the Raiders or the Giants, assuming that both of those teams come up with what the Rams would want in a trade, I think he would pick the Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, and I just think
that's right,
that
it's a moot point. I don't. I like you said, if the Giants were either going another year and more money, or the Giants were the only team willing to do this, then I would say he'd be a Giant. But I think that the Raiders offer a much better situation for him with a coach who has a proven track record, has won Super Bowls.
Yeah. And here to answer the question, and he's talking about it from like a Giant fan perspective and the future and all of these things. Unfortunately, the regime now that has been put on notice by the owner at the end of the season sees it a different way. So put yourself in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's shoes. Okay, I look at these two quarterbacks. I don't think either one of them are going to be any good. Is there anybody that's out there that's available that could come in and make a major impact and maybe take us to the playoffs and have a winning record? It's not Russell Wilson. It's not Kirk Cousins. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not Gardner Minshew, on and on and on. Well, Matthew Stafford's available. Let's get that guy. Then all of a sudden, we go from a 3-4 win team to maybe a 9-win team, 8 or 9 win team in 1 year. We get to keep our job, and we're legitimate again, and we look like we know what we're doing. I mean, that's what this is going to be about more than anything.
All right, so you got, supposedly, according to Diana Rossini, you have these two teams that have made the contract offers that he would be happy with. I think people in the NFL are going like, hey, Sean McVay, what the hell are you guys doing? Why aren't you keeping them? Why are you not? Why are you willing to separate yourself from a guy that two other teams out there are so desperate for a presence at quarterback are willing to spend $100 million on it?
It's a really good question. I can't answer. I don't know.
And by the way, they went and traded for him, and they gave him a new contract that was concurrent with everybody else when he signed it.
And it worked because they won the Super Bowl.
And they also went to the playoffs this past year. And it just goes to show you just how impressive the quarterback is. Like, why would you even get to this point unless there is something else that we don't know about that they have just enough of already?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we have talked about the Kelly Stafford angle of it, and maybe that's a distraction to them. I mean, it seems odd that would be the reason why they wouldn't want to have him back, but it also, not the entirety of the season, but at the end of the season, the Rams were the second most impressive NFC team by the end. Not the whole season.
That's the other part of this.
It's like, if I'm any part of that organization, I'm like, we got to bring this thing back. We got to run this thing back. Tweak here, tweak there, and we could be right there in the NFC Championship.
They had a really good young defense last year, and their offensive line's a little shaky. But, you know, I mean, they too could be looking at a reset as well. Especially with the salary cap going up as high as it's going, and an extra $24 million bucks goes a long way these days.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's one of the reasons why the Giants are willing to go to this number, if in fact those stories are accurate. And I don't never question Diana Russini's reporting. I think she's really buttoned up, and I think she's talking to the right people.
Let's go to Steve in Spring Lake. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
I have a question. If we spend all this money on staff, what other improvements do we need to make so he's not running for his life like basically every other quarterback we've had?
Well, I don't think he will not be running for his life because he's a 37-year-old quarterback, knows how to operate in the pocket. And by the way, you know, the Giants spent a lot of money on offensive linemen last year. Unfortunately, Andrew Thomas got hurt, and that was a big problem for the Giants, and they had to rely on Evan Neal in certain situations. And as we have gone over 1,000 different ways, that was not, unfortunately, has not turned out well for the Giants. But they spend money. They do have some quality offensive linemen on their team.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean that they can't do something this offseason again to try to reinforce that.
And also, if you're going to get Stafford, you could also use that number 3 overall pick on the best offensive lineman in the draft, the LSU tackle. You could, if you like them. Also, if Jermaine Illuminor has had enough of people talking about how bad the Giants' offensive line is, and he was fighting back with somebody saying, if you look before Andrew Thomas got hurt, you know, we were a good offensive line. So
yeah, I mean, like, you're playing with backup quarterbacks, you're playing with, you know, a lack of a running. There's a lot of reasons why the Giants' offense was not that good. Quarterback being the number one problem, and the offensive line, I thought, if they have a veteran back there that knows how to handle an offense, you know, they'll be better. That's just the way it is. If you have a guy that's back there that's running around and is not really sure about what he's doing, then all of a sudden, you know, the guys that are blocking for him or the guys that are running the routes, they don't have all the confidence that they need in that guy in order to think that they can win a game.
Trey in Morristown. What's up, Trey?
Good morning. How we doing?
All right, Trey, what's happening?
Not much. So I don't know if you remember, but towards the end of the year, that stat came out last year where the Giants were on the wrong side of close games. If they were to get Stafford, Kupp, and Booms, like you said, Andrew Thomas gets healthy, I think this team might actually be a pretty solid team that everyone would like watching. I don't think there should be much negativity about the move. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, and I like it too, Trey. And you got to remember where they're coming from. I mean, this is a team that has been so bad. I mean, even that playoff year where they went and beat Minnesota is so distant in the memories because of what happened with Saquon and what happened with Daniel Jones. I mean, nobody even thinks about that as a positive. The team 2 years after that has been awful.
Do you know how many points they averaged this year in a game?
16.3.
You're right there. You're right. If that's good on your part.
Oh, thank you. I only watched every single quarter of that horse crap.
Yeah, and by the way, only one team scored less than they did on an average per game basis. And that would be the Cleveland Browns.
Oof.
That's how bad their offense was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and what a quarterback is, what his job is to ignite the offense and score points.
And that's why they're trying hard to get Stafford. Unfortunately, there's another team in there that there's two other teams. If the Rams pony up, there's two other teams that he's going to prefer to play for.
I don't get the whole Rams thing. I really don't. I you know, they knew they had a potential out with him. It's here now, and I don't understand why they even let it get to this point.
Yeah, this has to be a boomer ear to the ground situation. You gotta poke a little bit around, see what's going on over there, because it doesn't make any sense.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I'm wondering, is there an update, a quick, because we don't have CeeLo in here every day, but a quick five borough bike tour update? What's going on with him?
It's funny you ask, because I did get an update.
Really?
There's really nothing for you to say, CeeLo, because I had the update here.
No,
by
there
the
is
way,
something for me to say.
You're on my homepage now. You're on
Esiason.org.
That's the foundation homepage. You're right there if you want to see.
All right.
And this could help people maybe support you.
Yes.
You're obviously not doing anything.
No.
I checked in this morning and it said regarding the fiber, this is the latest update. I just got it at 7:47
this
morning.
I know what you're going to say, but you're not allowing me to provide the context.
Well, let me say what I have to say.
Okay. You say what you got to
say. So regarding the Five Borough Bike Tour, currently I'm in first place.
Shocker.
At 11,300. Jerry Cahill is in second place. The guy's had, double lung transplant, kidney transplant, and everything else, and rides the five-borough bike tour. And we can't
not get as many jobs as CeeLo, but, definitely.
And he also coaches pole vaulting and everything else. Like, the guy's just unbelievable. He's 9,400 hours and 95, and then, just so you know, you're last place.
Yeah.
With $75 and no freaking teammates.
Time out.
And by the way, Allie, our makeup gal, and who is also a part of our foundation, she's almost up to $2,000 already.
Okay.
Wow.
So you got $75 and no teammates.
Yeah, the $75 is what I had to pay to sign up. So I'm
a loser.
Now, I told you last time I was in here that I was efforting recruiting some other guys that work around here. I'm not waiting, so who shall remain nameless.
I just want to say, the guys around here don't make a lot of money. I understand that. So you're asking them to do something like, maybe they're uncomfortable doing.
Fine. Be that as it may.
I wouldn't have asked you to do this unless gave you like this $10,000 set of golf clubs.
Oh, now it's $10,000. Okay.
Well, it started with the bag, the balls.
No, I know. But it's each time I get in here, that price seems to go up, which is interesting.
Right, okay.
No.
You're a loser.
Be that as it may.
I didn't say perhaps. That. That's it.
Yeah, I know. So, as you know, I had not one, but two guys who had to back out for family reasons, right? So, we're not killing them. It is what it is.
No, I'm not killing anybody. I'm killing you.
No, wait. Right.
You're the leader.
Okay.
Loser!
What I'm saying is, I had a team lined up. We've had to since make adjustments. I reached out to other people who work here at the station that I thought might want to do it with me. they're like very lukewarm about it.
Yeah, so it's hard to raise
agreed.
Money.
So I've saying, gotten like, to a point now, and I said this to you off the air last time I was in here. I thought they would be a good idea to essentially auction off those last two spots on the team. You told me you thought that was a good idea. Your pal over here to the left of you, of course, poked holes in that and gave me all these reasons why maybe it wouldn't be a good idea, which I appreciate and I get where you're coming from. So I'm not throwing shade your way, Gio. I understand what you're saying. But we've gotten to a point now where this is the route that I need to take so we can get this thing off the ground.
Yeah, and I mean, it was just my opinion. You could do what you want. I just think that in this situation, having done it twice,
yes,
and having been a part of the team and Boomer asking me who is a guy you can trust to join our team, I went straight to a person I knew would be there, knew would fundraise, and when you're just putting it out there to anybody, it's just tough to put two strangers on your team when this thing needs to be buttoned up.
I agree.
You've been waiting.
I agree. That's why
March waiting.
That's why I wanted to have guys that I've worked with here. Yeah. And Pat Boyle's on the team, and I trust him, and I know he's going to do a great job. So we're good there.
Who's that?
Pat Boyle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're familiar with him.
But how come he hasn't put any money in yet?
No. Don't knock Pat. I'm the ringleader here, and I told him we're still working on putting the team together.
Hey-o.
And once the team is finalized, then we'll start to, we'll hit the gas pedal here.
Okay.
So you can give me the rankings and all that. The event is May 4th, yes?
Look, if you want to help CeeLo out, just go to my website. Hit on CeeLo's right there on the front page.
He's promoting your page. You're saying
I'm promoting your page. If you want to give him like $2, $3 just to help him get to 100, that would be nice.
No. We're going
to
be fine.
I'll do that right now.
We're going to be fine.
I'll be the leader in the club. And I'll give $2. I'll give him some money. Will you please?
A couple bucks.
Yeah.
I think Al and I, by the way, I heard him poking around about putting something together down in the Jersey area. Maybe we team up together.
What is that, Al?
I was just simply asking Allie how that works.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
Oh, no,
I specifically said to CeeLo,
what did you say?
Who was listening, do not mention anything.
You did not
I swear
that.
To God, okay. I did.
Fine.
Do so not mention anything because I don't know if this is going to get done and I don't want this
pressure.
On the air.
We are with the pressure.
Correct.
Well, it's on the air now.
Well, then if something happens, it's not going to CeeLo's team.
Okay. Fair enough. Fine.
All right, go to my team or Allie's team.
I just asked Allie, how does that work when you work out with a bar?
Okay.
Like, what does the bar get? The bar's certainly not giving you free drinks and things, so how does that work? So she was giving me the background.
Okay, fine. Leave
Great
Al
Great job, CeeLo. I mean, now you're disappointing everybody in here.
You're
disappointing Boomer. You're going to me. Your partner over there told me not to do that.
Dead.
Then
you are dead.
You put something out on the air that Al didn't want on the air. I mean, this has been a horrible 4 minutes for you. It just is. There's no debate.
But I do think I got to say something good came out of this. I love the fact that Al wants to get involved and do something down in Bradley Beach.
No.
Screw all you people.
Fine. I'll take the L on that. I wasn't trying to put Al in a bad spot. But okay. Fine.
You're a loser.
People who know the show and know the dynamics is just, this is amazing. Because Al's behind the scenes, like thinking, maybe I'll do this, maybe I won't. And now CeeLo puts it out there. Now all Boomer's going
to
do is say, how's that thing coming? How's that coming along, huh? And Al's going to have no choice but to do it.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
It's not. I'll take care of it.
You'll take care of it?
Yeah.
The type of confidence we have in you taking care of anything. You got 75 bucks raised.
Okay.
It's March tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm aware. Don't worry about it.
All right, I won't.
Okay. You're taken care of.
We're trying to help you out.
Boomer,
so
you don't need to help me out. The idea is for me to help out, which I'm going to do.
You're Team WFAN NARPS.
Yes, that is the team name, yes.
So, okay, well, people can help out if they want.
Oh, well, of course we're gonna
instead of having like a $10 cup of coffee at Starbucks, they could just give you $10. A
couple guys gave you $100 already.
All right, again.
Did they really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, Fusco in New Jersey.
Fusco.
What's going on, Fusco?
You're up to $275 bucks right now.
We're going to get where we need to get to. Again,
Robert Severino.
You're not doing a good job marketing yourself, marketing your team.
Like Gio said, tomorrow is March, so we come out of the winter here, and now we put the gas pedal down.
Okay.
That's all. And we recruit a couple of listeners who are motivated to join. And by doing so, by putting it out there, hey, why don't we open it up to whoever the highest donation is for the next week or whatever.
If you want to rock, team.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that this way, when they enter, You don't have to say, oh, by the way, you got to raise X amount of dollars. They've already hit the ground running with their contribution.
Well, okay.
That's the idea.
You know, I'll give you a tip here. Darren from the 7 line is very interested in doing this last year.
Uh-huh.
And then I told him I wasn't doing it, and then it got too late. I would talk to him about it. I guarantee he would do it.
Okay.
And he is someone who knows so many people, huge following. I'd reach out to him and see if he's available that day. That's a good tip for you.
Not a bad idea. That just popped in my mind.
But the thing about it is like we order, you know, biking tops for everybody.
Yes, got to get that done.
Right. And, you know, and that stuff's got to be in.
All right.
I can't be like last day, hey, I need an extra large.
I'm not doing any last day stuff. I'm not a last day kind of guy.
Well, it seems like you are. No. That's all.
No, not a last day kind of guy.
I mean, Al's trying to help and busted him out here.
You're a loser. By the way,
it's a good thing I'm not doing a warm-up show with Al tomorrow. That might get a little ugly. I wasn't trying to throw him under the bus, but I see how that's how it played out. So I'll own that one. That's fine.
When you were starting to talk about it, I could see his face there and his eyes. He's like, don't you say it.
Here I was, thought I was throwing an olive branch out there. Instead, I was throwing a grenade out.
I'm just happy that he wants to do something on Bradley Beach.
No. So that's good. Not what he said.
Yes, it's not. That's what it sounded like to me.
No.
Maybe he and Whimsy could show up together somewhere.
No. He was just doing some information gathering, that's all. You're over there with your phone. What do you want to say?
No, well, one of your meathead friends has reached out to us, maybe the meatheadedness or the top meathead of the group.
Okay.
And said he's going to be at the Nutty Irishman one that I'm doing on the 29th of March.
Yeah.
So he's 29th of March. This guy's got
with about 10 guys.
Oh, perfect. Really?
What is that going to look like?
That wanted Eddie's job?
Yes. Him. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He's going to show up with 10 of his meatheads?
Yeah, I guess so.
Damn. That's going to be scary.
Well, the one thing everybody's going to be bleached and waxed. That's for sure.
Yeah, this is the guy who bleaches his butthole, CeeLo, I'm talking about.
Going to be bleached and waxed and buffed up ready for
See,
you.
I wouldn't have thought put meathead and bleached butthole together. Doesn't seem like a meathead move.
He's a.
So one of the bleached butthead guys wants my job?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Really? We called him yesterday when Hurley was in here.
Yeah, he would do it.
He thinks he can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? What is his background?
He sells alcohol.
Drinks it, too.
He drinks it, too.
That's about it.
And he gets waxed and bleached.
Mm-hmm. He actually sent me a video of him.
But not the main one.
What do you mean, not the main one?
Not the main bleach guy. Or it is at the main.
No, the main bleach guy.
There's
only one bleach guy that I know. I know you got multiple friends who bleach their butthole. I know one.
I only know one.
Yeah.
So he's the one who wants the job?
Yeah.
He thinks he can handle it.
That's what he said.
All righty.
Maybe we'll bring him in maybe next week and just let him sit there and push buttons.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, that's all I do.
He's got it. He understands.
All right, CeeLo, you got a couple minutes here to give us whatever you want.
All right, number one.
Loser, and the triple.
Okay. I heard you guys mentioning Diana Rossini's name. Was that the updated tweet from this morning you were discussing, or was it something from yesterday?
No, it was updated from this morning.
All right, so you guys covered that. Good.
CeeLo, you are up to $1,724 right now.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, it's up there.
Just from us discussing that.
Yes. See?
Okay. Again.
Get your ass in
here. It's February 28th.
Look at all these people.
Tomorrow's May 4th. I'm not arguing any of that.
People are thinking at home, and it's great. Like, this guy's got no shot of raising the money. Let me help him out. You know, they love a lost cause.
You'll love this.
Let's go to Katie in Staten Island. Katie, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, Boomer and Gio. I love you guys. Love the show. Listen every day. Boomer, I just want to thank you. My son has CF, and your foundation got me in with Dr. Domingo. She's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome, Katie. What can we do for you today?
So this is amazing. I want to help CeeLo out. My brother owns a wildly popular bar in Staten Island, and I think you guys could come and do a guest bartending gig over here at Duffy's on Staten Island.
Katie, I would love to do that. I'll get Pat Boyle. We'll come on down, and we will do whatever it takes.
All right, so hold on, Katie. So Al, get Katie's number, and then CeeLo will touch base with you after the show. Is that all right?
Sounds great.
How old's your son?
My son is 19 and a half.
Oh, great. How's he doing?
Doing wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Love to hear it, Katie. Thank you so much. You see how many nice
people. Thank you,
people?
Yes. Boomer. You're amazing.
Nice thanks, Katie.
Does it get any better than that?
Now, Al's got to take the information. He's already
does it get any better than that, CeeLo, for crying out loud?
He's like, this bleep show out of here. You know, I don't want to deal with any of his crap. Anyway, what I was going to say to you before you took Katie's call.
You're almost up to $2,000 okay. now.
I had somebody reach out to me also that wanted to donate a couple of Ranger tickets to auction off. So we're going to do well, that
that's
as
up
well.
To you. Well, you bring that to your fundraiser in Staten Island now.
Or we put it out there on, you know, on social media. Well, we get it going that way.
That's up to you and Pat Boyle.
Yes.
See, you know what we've learned here? You see what happens when you try?
Yes.
Okay.
All you have to do is try just a little bit.
You see what happens?
Again, you guys are speaking as if the event is tomorrow, and I've done nothing all along the
how
way.
Many, well, how much money have you raised up until this point?
I'm not.
How much money in your team?
I'm over $11,000.
Yeah, right. I heard him break that down.
He's still got 2 months.
Number one, you really
now,
think...
Now, I will say that I usually match the donation, so I'm going to win anyway.
Yeah, you're right. You think we think we're going to compete with Boomer for his own foundation that we're going to somehow...
No, I was just poking holes in your point. They're like, the thing's not tomorrow. Well, it's not tomorrow for him or Jerry Cahill either, and they've raised tens of thousands of dollars.
I'm aware. They have their team finalized. We're still figuring out the pieces for the team.
He's late.
That's all. Okay.
Now, I don't...
You want to say that I'm lazy? That's fine.
I can go through the donors and the people who have donated this morning, and I don't think it's really him, but someone who's calling himself Spike Eskin, the skinny vegan hipster C... made a $250 donation.
Oh, that's very generous, that if that actually is Spike.
Actually, you and Allie are now like neck and neck.
Yeah, see, and that's not she's right. Up, I feel to, bad.
Yeah, but no, she's up to almost $2,000, too. I mean, like, right. Listen, we have great listeners out there.
Of course
they understand
we
what we do every year.
I've had multiple people reach out to me via you know, Twitter, X, Instagram, whatever.
Yeah, but nothing was happening until I just brought
it
up.
No, no, no. But again, like, just because it hasn't showed up on the website doesn't mean I don't have things in play and in movement. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go to Danny in Queens. Danny, what's happening?
Hey, good morning. Big fan. CeeLo, start to walk around the neighborhood. It's recycle day here. I'm going to pick up all the bottles of cans I can.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to compile as many nickels, and I'll donate them. I'm going to work all weekend, bro. I'll do the best I can.
Danny, what a guy.
Yeah,
appreciate
nice
that.
Danny. Thank you.
That's very generous of you.
Free time.
Before we run out of time, because you mentioned Spike's name, I did have something Spike-related for you this hour.
Okay.
You care to hear,
hear
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, no, we talked last hour about making the transition to afternoon drive and kind of all that comes with that. And, of course, Spike has done that. He left us here to go down to Philly WIP. So, I guess here he's facing off with... This is Elliot Shore Parks, who covers the Eagles, does a podcast. I guess he does Sixers-related stuff as well. So he had lauded the acquisition of Paul George during the offseason, but now he's crushing him. He's cooked, he's washed, the whole thing. So Spike brought him on the air with receipts from the offseason that turned into kind of like a good old-fashioned married couple back and forth.
Because I don't think he's physically cooked.
Why?
Because I watch. You don't even watch the games.
First of all, you don't even watch the games, Elliot. First of all, why does that matter, number one?
Why does it matter
two,
if you want?
No, I do. No, argument over. I do.
Argument over. Does it matter if you watch the basketball games to determine whether the guy's physically cooked?
You are fighting a losing battle here. He is cooked. It was a mistake. The contract's a disaster. We can talk about what I said months ago.
That's what you're here for.
All right, so that tone at the end, we've heard that before, all right? That's like a preview of what the next warm-up show with Al and I will sound like, probably. But anyway, last thing, it only escalated from there as Spike circled back to this guy's original tweet about Paul George.
The first line, this is a huge win for the Sixers.
And it was that they got
a
free agent
to
sign
for them. It's a huge win, and you're saying it's a disaster, so you are wrong.
Okay, if you want to say
No, not me.
I'm admitting part of it's wrong.
No, not part of it. This is a huge win for the Sixers.
Is it a win when a free agent signs with a team?
Elliot.
Yes, but that's the point I was making. It's a huge win for the franchise that a free agent signs.
You're saying it's
them.
A huge win. So how is it a huge win now?
It's not. It's a disaster.
Okay, so you were wrong.
But you're misinterpreting what I said.
No, I'm reading it.
Oh, boy. And it just went on.
I had never heard that.
Right, exactly.
That thing, that gear I had never heard.
Yes.
I heard that little like whiny like, rah, 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 spike, right. But never like the guttural.
It went to another level.
Yeah.
So, and they continued on for quite a few more minutes after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how it's going for them down there in Philly.
CeeLo, you and the WFAN NARPs are going to have to up your goal.
All right, good.
Because you are at $3,100 right now.
That's crazy.
That's just so kind, everybody that's doing this.
Yeah, of course it is.
It is.
Of course it is.
I mean,
I'm saying thank you. You're not. You know, I'm just trying to you know,
that's
you
not true.
All you've done is go. Huh,
I said thank you to both.
I don't need help.
I said thank you to both callers.
Oh, these people are great. A lot of good messages.
100%.
Pedal hard, CeeLo. Go, CeeLo. We're behind you, CeeLo. Don't take the heat that they're giving you, CeeLo.
No, I got to take the heat. That's fine. It comes with the territory.
Good luck, CeeLo, from Maureen.
You're a loser.
You got a couple Michaels in here.
He's lazy.
A
couple Michaels.
Yeah, man. This is great.
Oh, boy.
All right, CeeLo.
In any event,
yeah,
we will get to where we need to get to, and then it sounds like, and then some, which is great. So here I was worried about bringing in outsiders and feeling bad that they've got to be part of fundraising, but they, you know, they may not.
Did you get a bike yet?
I'm in the process of renting a bike. What was
it? I mean, okay. Are you going to ride a bike at all, or are you just going to show up and do it?
Again, I have a regular bike that I ride at home. As you inform me, you need a different type of bike.
Well, you just want a nice road bike that has,
Sure. Now, does it not say you can rent a bike for the event?
Yeah, you can, but you don't want to go through. I mean, that a lot of people do that, but that is a little bit cumbersome. I would suggest that you go to your hometown. Maybe you rent a bike from
cumbersome
a local bike shop.
In what way?
There's 50,000 people in the bike tour, and a lot of people end up renting bikes, and then you got to bring them back, and you got to put them in a certain spot.
Sure, but also think of it.
You probably obviously haven't read about all of this.
No, I don't think you're prepared. Okay. Think of it this way, though. You said, well, you should rent a bike from your home shop. Then I have to get it into New York City somehow, yes?
You put it in your car. You could put it in your car.
I don't have a pickup truck. That bike can't be that big. It could ride any car.
Baby bike. I'll buy myself a tricycle for this event, okay?
Al, when's the fundraiser at Bradley Beach?
Again, that's not what I said or what he said. I want to put it out there, Al, now just to get
the listeners excited to be.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Here's what I'd say. Katie called up about the guest bartending.
Yes,
Pat and I will go do that, and that can take the place of whatever Al was maybe thinking about doing. Because I don't want any blowback on Al. It's not fair to him. Okay.
All right. We'll see you next time.
You don't
what? What now?
Follow through with Katie.
Of course, I already got her number. Al already texted me right here.
Okay, good.
So I can be in touch with her, like, you know, in 30 seconds.
All right.
Awesome. There you go.
Very good. Thank you.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, it just reminded me, you know, last week we were talking about, or 2 weeks ago, was my buddy Mike Hill, who also works for me at the foundation.
Yeah.
And you and I were wondering about this long line that was showing up as we were leaving the city, going like, what the hell are these people in line waiting for?
Right, and it ended at the Bowery Ballroom.
Right, and we found out that it was for tickets to see Paul McCartney in the Bowery Ballroom, which
and
is
you could only get tickets at the box office.
And Mike ended up waiting, Mike Hill from my office ended up waiting for 8 hours and actually waited even though the guys came out and said there was not going to be a show.
Yeah, and still stayed there hoping that there would be a chance something changed, and it did.
And he got a ticket. So yesterday I was in the office and I was talking with him, and you see how you and I are sitting as close as we are?
Yeah.
Because I was essentially that close listening to one of my heroes, Paul McCartney, and it was well worth every minute standing there waiting. And I couldn't tell you how happy I was when I left the Bowery Ballroom that night.
Man, good for him.
Yeah,
it was that great. Is awesome. I mean, that kid, he's definitely earned it. He stood out there for hours and hours and hours in the winter. So
that was crazy that he did that.
Yeah,
crazy.
This guy's got one hell of a life. I mean, he's a singer. He did that old thing with Paul McCartney. He ripped his scrotum open during the bike tour and finished. He said he almost passed out by the end of that thing. He added that to the story the last time I talked to him.
Yeah.
And that's all because he crashed to a paraplegic biker and flipped over and the pedal ripped his scrotum open.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about the people that I ride with. Like, there's always somebody getting into an accident. I think Meredith and Grace fell off their bikes last year.
Yeah, and the first year I did it, I was part of a domino effect with a Eastern European laying on me, screaming at me as if it were my fault. And I yelled back at him, "You're on top of me. How is it my fault?" And somebody was on top of him. It was a domino effect.
Yes.
And maybe he wasn't yelling, and maybe he was just yelling in general.
You know what? It's memories. And that day it was pouring, and we were drinking tequila.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you can do on a bike tour. You just have a sip of tequila when it gets a little, or whiskey for that matter, if it gets a little too chilly for you.
Yeah, we ended up pulling over on the side of BQE, just a little bit left, and said,
let's do this.
Let's do this. Let's take this sip. Let's warm us up and let's finish this damn thing. Then we did. And we got down there and they said, oh, yeah, it's another 3 miles of the ferry. I said, what?
Yeah.
And then I did it again somehow.
Yeah, somehow you did it.
A couple years later.